1 John chapter 4. We're going to begin looking at, in this month of February, more love, more love. How can we show more love, and how do we obtain more love? How do we understand the love, more of the love of the Lord in our lives? It's an amazing thing if you study this word love in the Bible. Very, very fascinating. The world has a definition of love today, and it usually carries with it a physical aspect. The Bible describes it very specifically as really an act of obedience. Well, now we're going to see this 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at this. Now let's see here. Let's jump down to verse 7 if you don't mind. Here, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us." You ever thought about that? Is that amazing? It's not that I showed my love to Him and He responded, "Oh, He's starting to love me, I'll love Him." No. "Yet while I was a sinner, He loved me," right? Okay. "That He loved us, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins," the payment. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Now, very interesting portion of Scripture. We're going to look at that in detail here as we go through it. So love, more love, that's our goal. If we think about this, 22 times John uses the word love in our text this morning, in chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. Now, this word that he uses is the word agape. You may know that, and we see that. Now, the songwriter, I found it very interesting, songwriter Frederick Lehman, now he said it this way. He said, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God sent his Son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from all sin. Could we think the ocean fill and where the skies of parchment made, and where every stock on earth is a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." I love that. An old song that we haven't sung, but I would like to. We think about the love of God today. Unfathomable, isn't it? Amazing to think about. I'm reminded of the young man that got engaged to his sweetheart, and they were going fine and well, and all of a sudden she just broke it off, and he was devastated. He was, you know, shed a few tears, just broken, and he thought she was the one, you know. And sure enough, and she broke it off, and she called him every name in the book, and boy, she'd let him have it. And he thought, "What in the world did I do?" Well, he got a letter about 6 months later in the mail, and it was a loving letter, and it was from her. And she said, "Dear Joe or John, I just want to say I'm sorry. I love you so much. You're the greatest thing on earth. You're so handsome and strong." And I mean, just this long letter. And he's going, "Wow, what happened?" And then she said at the bottom, "P.S., congratulations on winning the lottery." So sometimes our love is a little bit skewed, a little bit, right? And can change some things, right? You think about the love today, as we see, we go through this morning. This love that God talks about, the Lord brings to us, it's very very interesting as we study it. Now, thinking about this today, Christianity as a whole is around that word love, isn't it? Everything Christ did, as we said last week, was for us. Romans 8 talks about that. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, God's on your side. Remember that. God's goal and desire in your life is to be successful spiritually. Maybe not financially, spiritually, okay? Now, successful, that's what he told Joshua. Now, as we look at this in the Bible, we see so many people will claim that God is not love, God is not for us, God does not care for us, which is not true. If you spend any amount of time in this book, you're going to find out very clear that love is a center. Now, some people today deny the love of God. You know that. You may have run into family and friends and other people that deny God and His love. How can a loving God, and then what happens? How can a loving God allow these things to happen? Death and heartache and disease. That's a very legitimate question. As we think about this, though, we're going to see that He shares with us that God is not just a demonstrator of love. He, in His very essence, is love itself. It is what's called a love beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension. The Bible is unlike any other book in the world. You know that. The Bible is the story of God's search or revelation to man. Other sacred books tell of man's search for God. This book tells of God's search for man. Isn't that amazing? God is searching for us. And God revealed Himself to us in a very unique way. Now, I want to encourage you again, and I sound like a broken record, but you need to be spending daily time in this book, every day of your life. Shame on us as Christians for not doing that. And I'm pointing the finger at me, or three of them, right? We need to be in this book. Why? Because we drift every day. We're not magnetized towards this book. What happens? We're pushed away from it. Flip two magnets, what do? They push against each other. That's what it is. And we have to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We got to get in this book. Why? We need to know more of the love of God. We need to know more of who He is. We need to understand His goal and purpose in my life. More people turn away from the Christian faith because they get confused about what God is doing in their lives. You ever been there? God does something in your life and you go, why in the world would He allow that to happen? Why would that? And it's fascinating, they don't want to attribute anything else to God except when things go bad, then they point the finger at God, don't they? Well, it's His fault. Now we think about this morning, that this book reveals to us God's great search and love and revelation, and the Bible's filled with the story of God's love for man. The Bible states very clearly God's love, He loves us because it is His nature to love. John 3:16, I don't need to quote it, but I will anyways. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The whosoever. Whosoever. And in our text, in chapter 4, verse 8, it says God is love. That's a definition. Okay, first of all, notice with me here. God's love has been manifested. Truly manifested. Look back again. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God. Toward who? It was towards us. Excuse me. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. It's been manifested. It's been revealed. I am often, my arm is twisted into watching these Hallmark movies. Some of you ladies like those? Yes. Yeah, okay, most of you do. And they're all the same. I mean, that's what she says to me. How can you watch a football game? It's the same thing. It's just the same thing. I said, well, you don't understand, you know. Same thing, right? And some of them are just downright foolish. I mean, just stupid. Pardon my language, but it's all the same. Some guy grows up in a small town, goes to the big city, becomes a lawyer, successful, has to go back home to take care of his ailing mother. Don't tell me how I know all this, but go back home to ailing mother, right? And he runs into who? At the local grocery store. Old Susie Q, his old high school flame, you know? Hey, are you married? Nope. I'm 40 and still not married. Are you? Nope. Wow. And of course, they look like Ken and Barbie, right? I mean, it's like, uh-huh. Do you have any kids? No. I don't have any baggage at all, do I? And you think about that. And one of them I thought of was that the one person didn't know that the girl didn't know the guy liked her, but they both had a secret crush and they didn't know about it until the very end, you know? And he saved her from a house fire, dragged her out. Of course, you know, he's an expertly trained Brother Brendan. We got to see the dummy, you know, the dummy doll at the firehouse, and that thing's heavy, 200 pounds, and he said they got to throw it up on their shoulder and stuff. But anyways, I thought about that. And I thought about your love, the love that God talks about, has been manifested. Wouldn't it be cruel of God to say at the last day and the judgment day, hey, you didn't know this, but I've always loved you. That's cruel. No, God has, there's a fly. God has manifested his love to us. The secret love. It must be made known. Now, how did he do this? He sent his son that we might live through him. Verse 9. Jesus Christ is eternal life. We know that. In Christ is life. Jesus Christ gives eternal life, very clearly seen in chapter 4 and 5. He gives it to us. He manifested himself so that we can receive the gift. Again, Jesus didn't do anything for himself. When you study the Bible, he didn't do anything so he could be pleased. Everything he did on this earth was for us. He lived a life of basically a vagabond, didn't have a home, didn't have a place to sleep. He went house to house. He was persecuted everywhere he went, and so on and so forth. And then it all culminated with what? Them rolling out the red carpet and feeding him wine and grapes and palm leaves. No. What was it? It all culminated with him being tortured to death. Oh, the cross is gone now. And hanging on the cross, right? The cross is somewhere. And you think about that. This is what we see, the manifestation of God's love. Isn't that amazing? No, he also sent his son to be what's called the propitiation for our sins. Verse 10, here in his love. He's saying, now here's a demonstration of love. Not that we loved God, but what? That he loved us and sent. There's the action. Now, God could have talked about love all day long. A lot of marriages fall apart because the man in particular talks about love. I love you, I love you, I love you. You're the greatest thing. You know that I love you. You know that I love you. But what? He never demonstrates it. He never shows it. He never acts it out, and vice versa. And you see that. Now, God says, I'm not only telling you love, but what am I doing? I'm going to send you or act upon the love to be the propitiation for our sins. He is the satisfactory payment for your sins and for mine. Okay? God's law had been broken. Okay, because of that. God's justice had to be satisfied. God's Son met the very need. He lived a perfect, sinless life, which the law demanded, and he died a substitutionary death for our sins. Very clear. Now, chapter 2 and verse 2 talks about that. The substitutionary death. It says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for what? The sins of the whole world. That covers the whole gamut. That's everybody. So you today put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says you will be saved. It doesn't matter what you came from, your background, your skin color, your financial status, it doesn't matter. You put your faith, you do it the Bible way, you'll be saved. Now, we think about this. His love was manifested. Now, he knows that we're going to fail and fall and sin, but he still wants to manifest his love towards us. Some people can't get past that. Well, why would he let me fall and fail and sin and have problems and everything else? We must understand who God is. And his love, the very nature of love. I know my kid is going to fall. I know my kid is going to scrape their knees and get hurt. And I inevitably know someone's going to hurt them at some point, you know, emotionally or whatever the case is. We know that. They're going to go through some tough times. I can't get them to avoid all of that. I can't put a big roadblock out in front, orange cones, and say, don't hurt my kid. You know what's going to happen. But what I can do is what? I can be there for them. I can love them. I can show them love. I can show them encouragement. And that's what they want. They don't want to live in a little bubble, like the bubble boy, and with no problems. They want to know dad and mom love them. Now, God is for us. God is with us. So he sent his son, and he manifested his love. He sent his son to be the savior of the world, in fact. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. We already said that. Jesus Christ saves all who believe in him. Not only was it manifested, though, I want you to see secondly, though, that his love must be received. Well, it's manifested, but I have a duty and job, and my part of the relationship is to reach out and take it. And I said this before, but faith is the arm that reaches out and takes the gift. It's by faith. People get really up in arms about some of that. Well, how can it be so easy? Praise God, it is easy. Oh, that's too easy. I talked to an older fellow one time. He said, that's too easy. I need to work for it somehow. He was raised in primarily a Catholic setting. I need to work for it. Now we think about faith is the arm that reaches out and takes the free gift. The Bible repeatedly talks about the gift. I was sharing with the kids a while back. I said, if I put a $20 bill out to you and said, here's a $20 bill for being such a good child and cleaning your room and taking the doing all that, they'd go, man, thank you, Dad. Thank you. And they turn around and walk away and don't take it. That's just foolishness, right? They're grateful for it, but they never took it. Now, you and I must understand that. Again, I'm being very elementary with this, but we must reach out and take the gift. So not only did he manifest it, but it must be received. Have you ever loved something and it didn't love you back? Oh, the other night, a bad idea, and I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I, you already know where I'm going. I decided to get the, you know, extra spicy. I don't know why, but, and my wife was saying, you know, Brother Adam's shaking, it's because he knows it. And my wife's going, you better not. I said, I like spicy. She says, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. You know, just because she said that, I said, I'm getting it. You know, Oh man, I had heartburn. I laid down and I was just, you know, when you feel it's just right here, you know, I'm like, oh, you love something and don't love you back, right? But more on a serious note, maybe you've been somewhere in a relationship or something and doesn't love you back. They didn't love you back. You tried to. You demonstrated your love. You manifested your love. But it wasn't received. It wasn't received. My friends, can I remind you that anytime you take a step towards God, anytime you take a step of faith and in love towards Him, He'll always meet you more than halfway. He'll never say, too busy. You ever have your parent, a mom or dad, ever tell you, I'm too busy, stop bothering me. You know? I don't have time right now. A spouse may say, not right now. God never does that. He's longing, the Bible says, His doors are wide open. He never has a too busy sign on His door. His doors are wide open, aren't they? All the time. In fact, He has to remind us to come to Him. He has to remind me to come to Him and not worry about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. What is that? God reminding me to come and bring it to Him. And I don't do that, do I? I fail often. So we think about this reception, this receiving of the love. Now, when you received Jesus Christ, you received God's love. You received His love. Let's see here. I think I was verse 15. Yes, verse 15 of chapter 4. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, well, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Do you realize we're Christianity in particular is the only religion in the world where your God comes and dwells within you by way of the Holy Spirit, right? No other religion does that. In verse 16, and we have known and believed that love that God hath to us, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. You received God's love. This love is not an attribute of God. It's His very nature, isn't it? It's who He is. It's who He is. He is love, and you think about that. We've studied this again in our Bible Institute. Very interesting to think about. God, in who He is as His love, you would say, why would He put out there for Adam and Eve if He knew they were going to sin? Why would He do that? He wouldn't and didn't want to and couldn't, in His love nature, create a robot with no feelings. He had to create us with where we could respond in love, right? He puts it out there. And He does the same today. His desire for us is to what? Respond in love. This love becomes our nature when we are born of God. When we are born of God. We become Him and like Him, excuse me. Love past feelings, Paul puts it later. You think about that. Loving out of obedience, right? Not just feelings. It's past feelings. When I feel like loving, I will. That's how I act sometimes. When I feel like it, no, it's past that. It's out of obedience. And I believe, and I'll say this again, very clearly, but our marriages would do much better if we would love out of obedience and not feelings, right? Well, when I feel like it, when she does what I've asked her to, if he'll do what I tell him to do, then no. You love out of obedience. And I love her because Christ told me to love her. And she respects me because Christ told her to respect me in that regard. And that's the way it goes in Ephesians 5. And we both together in obedience to Christ, both keeping our eyes on Christ, inevitably grow closer together. We know that. Okay. But you think about this. It's past feelings. It's loving out of obedience. Do you think Jesus Christ felt like going to the cross? Absolutely not. We know that according to that scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knelt down and prayed. Great sweat drops of blood ran down his forehead onto his cheeks. And he said what? Lord, if this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done. The cup he's talking about held torture, pain, agony, ultimately death. He said, if it passes from me, but Lord, not my will but thine be done. God demonstrated his love. He poured out his wrath upon his son. Okay, when you receive his love, you receive the confidence it gives. This is very interesting. Notice verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Now, we've been looking at that on Wednesday evenings, that perfection, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In this world. We understand now. You receive his love, you receive the confidence it gives. Love will give boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness is confidence or freedom of speech. Boldness is confidence towards God. We do not cringe as a criminal would before the judge. We have awe and respect as sons before a father, right? We don't cringe. Oh. But when you show your love towards God, when he is number one in your life, right? When he's number one in your hearts, you've demonstrated that today by being in church. You've prioritized the Lord in your life. You've prioritized him in your hearts and in your hearts and lives and marriages and family and all of it. He's one. It gives us boldness. It's not this shame that we must cower and hide before a judge. We know that he loves us, and in turn, we love him. Very interesting. I heard the story of a little boy, and he was over in Nepal, and him and his father would go in a very large cliff, hundreds and hundreds of feet below, but he would tie a rope around the little boy's waist, and he would literally have the boy run and jump and swing down to a little precipice there, and the boy, there was a nest of eggs. And the boy would get the eggs and put it in his little satchel, and he'd tug on the rope three times, and then he'd jump off and swing back, and the father would pull him up. And some passersby looked at that, and they watched it just fascination. And they finally, after the boy came up about the third time, they said to the little boy, are you not scared to do that? You've got to be, you are so brave. He said, oh yeah, I know my daddy's got a hold of the other end. I know my daddy's got a hold of the rope. I'm not scared. He won't let go. He won't fail me. He won't fail me. Now you think about that. Very interesting. God says, I've got a hold of the other end. You can trust me with your life. You can give me all your love, and I will not let you go. God's love is unsearchable. It's unfathomable. It's past finding out almost. We have awe and respect. Love casts out fear, the fear of the judgment. There's a word called crisis phobia. Crisis phobia, that means fear of judgment. Now, some of the kids need a healthy dose of that, don't they? They need a fear of judgment. Oh, man. In Walmart the other day, and this kid was crazy. I mean, running, screaming, running, throwing toys off the shelf. I'm just going, and there's the mother, you know. Healthy fear of that. They need a little crisis phobia in their hearts. That's the true thing. They have a fear of judgment. No, people have fear of judgment. Fear is torment. Fear has torment of the future. Fear has torment of the past. Fear has torment of the present. Can I remind you, your future is safe if you're saved? Can I remind you, your past is covered under the blood and the present is secure? It's secure. Isn't that fascinating? You and I can live a bold, successful, healthy, Christian, vibrant, growing life. Why? Because of the love of God. Far too long, we're stifled. Because of what? We have fear. Perfect love casts out fear. You remember when you were dating your spouse? Remember those years ago? Well, you didn't have any fear. You didn't have any fear. Those days that go by maybe changed a little bit. Now you fear her a little bit more, right? You fear. But there's a fear. Notice what it is. This fear, it causes us to live a subpar, stagnant, stifled life. We know God loves me. Fear hinders growth. Fear comes from not trusting God like we should. Not trusting God keeps you from growing. In the Old Testament, they sent out a committee of 12 into the Promised Land, didn't they? 12. Go out and spy the land. Got it. They went out and did their thing and camped out here and moved a little camped out over here. And after a while, they came back and gave a report. And the people looked out and saw them coming over the hillside. And they said, the spies are back. They're going to tell us all about it. We're so excited. They came back and said what? The grapes are big, the wine is sweet, the girls are pretty, but there's giants in the land and we can't take it. Except for two of them, Joshua and Caleb. They said, guys, don't discourage the people. We can take it. We got it. God's on our side. God loves us. God promised us that we could have the land. And those 10 scoundrels, what did they do? No, we can't do it. We can't do it. Churches are hindered that way too. We can do it. No, we can't do it. We can't do it. It's too much. We can't handle it. And they had a fear of man. Again, a good reminder to myself. Fear of man will hinder you from doing what you're supposed to for God. Why don't I reach more people with the gospel? Because of the fear of man. Why don't I spend more time with the Lord? Because I've got other obligations that impede that. And you think about that. Fear. Love casts out fear. And you, my friends, today, can I encourage you with this? The more time you spend in this book, the more time you spend around the things of God, the more time you spend in God's house and around God's people and in prayer with God's people and by yourself, the more you're going to understand the love of God. And the more boldness you'll attain, the more boldness. And your family and friends need to see something different in you, by the way. They need to see something different in me. I'm sick and tired. I don't know if you are. I am sick and tired of worrying what people think. Worrying about how, I don't want to offend my kids. Oh, I hope she's not upset. I don't want to offend my parents. You know, they don't go to church and they don't believe in God. Come on now. You need to get bold about the things of God and just say, go ahead, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Why? Because I ain't going to answer to Daddy and Mommy on Judgment Day. I'm standing before God Almighty, Jesus Christ. And He'll say, did you? And I'll say, I didn't know I was supposed to. And out of His mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, this book. He'll judge us according to this book, my friends. Remember? You know that? You awake still? Okay, everyone's awake? I'm almost done. Thank you. We receive. Now, think about that. How many things have you wanted to do in life? How many things did you want to accomplish and do, but you didn't do it because of fear? You wanted to learn a new language. I can't even speak English very well. You wanted to learn a new language. Out of fear, you didn't do it. You wanted to get that degree. Out of fear, you didn't do it. You wanted to take that trip. Out of fear, you didn't do it. So on and so forth. How many times has it hindered your life? How many times have you wanted to serve Christ like you wanted to and be the Christian you were supposed to be and you want to be? And you get a little inspired when you hear a message or you read a story or a biography. You get a little inspired. I want to be like that kind of a Christian. But it doesn't happen. Love removes the need to pretend. Love brings transparency. Love brings honesty. It brings it. True love. True love. It does. Okay, I must move on. And then thirdly, let me say, God's love is to be demonstrated. Not only is it manifested, and it's supposed to be received, but it is truly demonstrated. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another. If you dress the right way, men will know that you're a Christian? No. If you say the right words, They'll know you're a Christian? No. What is it? By the love. You identify with a God. You identify with Him. And you think about the demonstration that He had. Love one toward another, He goes on to say, we manifest that. This proves that we're born of God and that we know God. It's a proof. And God asks us repeatedly to prove it. Paul says, examine yourselves. Know ye not? Do you know whether ye be in the faith? Examine yourself. Prove it. Prove your love. Prove your salvation. God doesn't ask us to be secret service agents in the Christian faith. Too many people are. Our coworkers and families and friends and people around don't know we're even in church today, don't know we're Christian. He doesn't want that. He says, prove it. Prove your love. When they came and arrested Jesus there in the garden, what happened? It says they all, A-L-L, all forsook Him and fled. Now later John would come and he'd be by the side of Jesus, but they all forsook Him. They said, I'm out of here. Now Peter took a swing at the guy with the sword and he made a little bit of an effort, but then after that, what did he do? He dropped his sword and ran. They all forsook Him. Jesus would later come, as you know that, to the seaside as they're fishing, and John says to Peter, hey, I think that's the Lord. And they go over to the shore and see Him. And what's Jesus do to Peter? Prove your love. Prove your sincerity. You denied Me. Now prove your love. He does so. He does so. We know that. Now the world, the flesh, and the devil claim to love you, but refuse to prove it. They love you, and they say, drink this. It don't love you back. Shoot this up. It don't love you. Smoke this up. It don't love you back. It don't love you back. We pay a price for those things. Maybe not now, but later on. Carouse around with these people. It's okay to be illicit at work with another person. It proves it doesn't love us. It's all temporal. It's all surface pleasure. God says to the lady at the well, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. She took that literally. Well, give me that water that I don't have to come and get this water from the well every day and sweat in the hot sun. Jesus meant it what? Spiritually or figuratively. She later understood what He meant. Come and drink of the water I'll give to you. You'll never thirst again. You'll never go to another man that's not your husband. You'll never look for pleasure. You'll never look for those things that you shouldn't be doing, etc. He's talking in general. You think about it. Jesus says that. Now prove your love. Jesus has already demonstrated or proved His love for you on that cross. Now you in return. This proves we've passed from death unto life. This proves that God dwells in us. This allows His love to be perfected in us. And this obeys His commandment to love. What does it mean to love? It means to do good and not harm to each other. It means we accept each other for who we are. It means we help each other stay out of sin. Everyone in here should be praying for everyone else in here. Everybody. You ought to be praying for each other. We ought to be. Yeah, I don't know. Pray for them. We ought to be praying to stay out of sin. Stay out of sin. Help them, Lord, to stay out of sin. Help them, Lord, to keep going. It means we help each other get out of sin if we fall. Galatians talks about that. Ye which are spiritual, restore a brother that's fallen. Help him. Help a sister out. It means we help each other win the lost to Christ ultimately. And we're seeking to do that. Okay, so we see this morning the love of Christ. We'll continue with this next week. Now, I want to encourage you, over the next 4 weeks, let me just say real quick, I'm going to give you an act of love to perform this week, okay? You've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You've got 6 days to do this. This is your homework, okay? Here's our first act of love. Are you ready? Okay, this week, I want you to do something nice for someone else. By way of this, I want you, as you're at the grocery store, if you're in line at the, if you're at the gas station, somewhere, I want you to go across the bay at the gas station and ask the person, you know, if they're driving a $75,000 truck, maybe not. Okay, but say, hey, could I buy your gas tank today? Can I put gas in your car? Okay. If you're at the grocery store, the lady behind you, again, if she has $350 worth of groceries, okay, but if she's got something or they, I want you to turn around and say, hey, do you mind if I pay for that? If you're at the restaurant or something. Okay, very simple. How many, raise your hand, say, I'm willing to do that, Brother Tim, this week. Raise your hand. Every hand should be up. Every hand up. Okay, thank you. Even the kid, good. Kids in the back, good. I want you to, would you do that for me? Now, I want you, this is the most important part, and I want you to grab some of these on your way out. This is our invitation card. When you do that, say, hey, and I just want to invite you to our church, okay? Now, you don't do the other part without doing this, okay? I want you to do that because it has our information and our invitation on the front. On the back has the gospel. It has the gospel verses, okay? If you're not good at, you say, I'm not good at that. I don't talk well with people. That's okay. Just hand them the tract. If you buy them gas, I guarantee you they're going to take it. If they say, no, I don't want that, they say, give me my card back. I'm kidding. Okay. How many, Brother Adam, you do that too, right? He raised his hand too. Yes. Okay. You'll do that for me? That's our first act of love this week. Okay. Can you do that, everybody? And we give them a gospel tract and say, hey, I just want to give you this and let you know God loves you. God loves you. If somebody came up and did that to me, I'd be happy, okay? Now, you can do that to Brother Tim, too, okay? That act of love can come to me. Okay, all right. Now, secondly, how many have a Facebook account? Raise your hand up. You have a Facebook? Some of you don't. Oh, you do, okay. I want you today, Ms. Shell, do you have a Facebook? Okay, I want you today to post on your Facebook, I love my church, and then put, Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church in Edgewood. Can you do that? Can you do that for me? I don't care if you don't want to do it. You're going to do it. Okay? You guys can do it for me, can't you? Yes, they're shaking their heads. Yes. I want you to put, I love my church. Okay? And that's going to be great. We want to let people know, I love my church. Be proud that you go to church. Okay? You'll do that for me. I'm going to be watching your Facebook today. All right. No, I appreciate you all. I really do. I want to share the love of God to other people. If we don't purposely do it, we won't do it, right? Right, Josh? We won't do it. We were talking this week, right? Talking about it. We won't do it if we don't purposely do it, right? We got to make it a point and a plan. And I'm so proud of all of you. By the way, thank you for being in church today. I appreciate it. God will bless you for being in church because you prioritize the Lord.